There we go. All right. Revelations chapter 19 tonight. I actually see a couple people looking up here like, whoa, we're going to the book of Revelations. Yeah, this is something God laid on my heart middle of the afternoon. And just kind of got to doing a little studying on it. And the Lord just kind of showed me a few things here and some things I'd like to share with you. And so Revelations chapter 19, and when you find it, you get a chance, please stand if you would and honor the reading of God's Word. And in Revelations chapter 19, we're going to read the first six verses. Revelations 19, 1 to 6. And here's what he says. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Brother Bill, if you would, ask the Lord to help us, please. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I'm going to preach to you for a little while on the 4 hallelujahs. That's what you get in this passage. The first six verses of this chapter deal with a scene, and it's a scene in heaven, and this passage is called the 4 hallelujahs. And then if you get on down about verse 7 and you get into verse 10, you're going to read about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then you're going to get down further and you're going to read about the second advent of Jesus Christ, the coming back and fighting of the Battle of Armageddon. And all this stuff is just so amazing. And I love the fact that it's futuristic and I know what's going to happen. I give glory to God for His revelations to men. He didn't have to tell us what was going to happen, but He let us know, and I thank God for that. But what I want to focus on is I want to focus on this word, hallelujah. And that's in this passage, it's alleluia. And that word, alleluia, it means praise ye Jehovah. Even in Spanish, it's not hallelujah. In Spanish, it's still alleluia. And if I'm not mistaken, how do you say that, Brother Cyril? Is it Alabar Jehovah? Is that how you say it? Alabara. Alabara Jehovah. It's praise Jehovah. That's what the word means. In America is where it started being pronounced with an H, and they said hallelujah. Just a bunch of old redneck Southerners is the ones that say that. You get up north and they say hallelujah. You get over on the other side of the pond and it's still alleluia. You go down into Mexico or in South America or Central America and it's not amen, it's amen. And that's how they say it. It's amen, it's not amen. Amen is amen. That's old hillbilly hick country way of saying it. But the proper way of people think English is the right way of doing it. No, English is the most backwards language that there is on the face of the earth. Every other language is the same. Every other language puts a verb and a noun in a certain order. Like in our, we say the green tree, but they don't say the green tree. They say the tree that is green. That's how they say it. Every other language in the world is like this. They don't say that's your shirt. They say that's the shirt that is yours. And that's how they pronounce these things. Well, this is how the Bible tells you. It says it's pronounced alleluia. Now, there's some words that are used for worship, and there's a couple of them. And as I got to studying this, I got to thinking this word, hallelujah. And I got to thinking, well, there's other words we use when we worship God. And I just got to looking them up. Just like we talked about this morning, I went and got my concordance. And I opened that big old thing up, and I went to hunting up words. And I hunted up amen. And I hunted up glory. And I hunted up hallelujah. And I got all the definitions for all of these words. If you look up the word glory, that word means honor. Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse 17. Once we get through this introduction to this might be a little bit of teaching, but when I get through with this, then I'm going to get into some preaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, here's what he tells you. He says, "For our light affliction," this is the Apostle Paul talking about polarities of Christian life, "for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." What is glory? That's honor. What you endure and what you have to suffer through down here ensures what you will rule and reign over on the other side. Whenever you have to suffer with Him, that's when you'll reign with Him. That was a stipulation. He said, if you suffer with me, he said, you'll reign with me. Excuse me. And so that word glory, that means honor. If you look up the word amen, that word means steadfast or so be it. And that's what that word means. It means it's like the Bible says about the Word of God. He says, "Thy Word forever is settled in heaven." Why? Because amen. It ended with, I'm sorry, I'll get my tongue out of a knot here in a minute. But in the last verse of Revelations chapter 22 and verse 21, I believe it is 22, 20, 21, I'm telling you, church, the devil's trying to get on me tonight. Verse 21, he says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." What is that? It means it's steadfast. It's sealed. It's locked in. It's not to be changed. He even said in the chapter before, he said, "If any man adds to or takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy," he said, "God will take his part out of the book of life." Why? Because when he finished writing his word, he ended it with amen, which means steadfast, unmovable, so be it and let it be. That's not what, and that doesn't mean that people can change it. That doesn't mean it can be altered. That doesn't mean it can be changed or moved. It means it is what it is. Leave it alone. It's fine. If you get in Isaiah chapter 43, and we will here in just a few minutes, but in the book of Isaiah in chapter 43, he's going to give you an example of creation. And he said, "I span the heavens and I set the earth in its place and I spread the stars abroad." He said, "I did it all by myself." You know, brother, he don't need us to help him do anything. He inspired some holy men, according to Hebrews, to pen His Word the way He intended it to be penned. But the one thing He didn't do was give authority for anybody to change what He had already said, to change it to fit their way of life. People need to get a little bit, I mean, sometimes it would do for people to get a little memory loss when it comes to trying to change God's Word, amen. It don't need to be changed. It needs to be reread, not rewritten. And people need to leave it alone. Feller said, "Why do you keep trying to mess with that book?" And the translator said, "Because that book won't quit messing with me." That's why they change it. It convicts them of sin. It tells them that what they're doing is wrong. It tells them that they can't work a way into heaven. It tells them the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin, and your righteousness is as a filthy rag. That's why they're trying to change it. But He said that my word was forever set in heaven and ended it with amen. That means it's over. It's through, it's set, it's sealed. Leave it alone. But then He gives you another word. And that word is holy. And that word is what they're up there saying every day. Up there, that eternal day, I say every day. It's one eternal day up there. Bible says in the presence of the seraphim, they're standing before the throne. It says they cry day and night, "Holy, holy, holy." Amen. You know that word holy, you know what that means? It means separate. Or set apart. You know what that tells me? There ain't nobody like Him. Amen. There ain't nobody like God. Ain't nobody like Jesus Christ. And He's so holy, they set Him apart and set Him aside. He told His people, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Paul told his followers that. Peter told his followers that. Jesus Christ told the disciples that. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." But brother and sister, the level of spirituality it would take to get to the place where He was is one we cannot attain to. It takes a glorified body and a glorified state of mind for us to be like He is. But He's up there right now in the presence of the entire congregation of heaven, and they cry out every day, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," which was and is to come. Amen. Because why? He's set apart. There's nobody like Him. There's nobody like Him. These words are words that aren't just spoken by mankind as a means of worship. But in the very presence of God's throne, these words are shouted as a proclamation comes down. I want you to think about that. Every time a proclamation comes down and news is shouted out over the, I don't know what you call it, the intercom of heaven. And as they begin to shout the and they begin to shout out these proclamations that are going on in heaven, they're rejoicing and they're giving amens. I mean, whenever the Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. So when one repents, they call their name out over glory land and so-and-so got saved. A week ago, this past Friday, there's a news broke out in heaven that shouted out and said, Logan, I think it's Mathis. He said, Logan Mathis just got born again. And everybody from Eddie's line back that was in glory waiting went to shouting some victory because another one of the line was found its way into the fold and they're going to be in heaven one day. Amen. But you know what else? It ain't just those proclamations. How about this one? Israel's backslid again and they're gone after idols. Captivity's coming to the nation. How about this one? This many souls died today and went out into eternity and most all of them went to hell. And you know what the response in heaven is? Well, whenever people are shouting glory and hallelujah over that soul that repents, you know what they're saying over that one that busts out into eternity and goes to hell? They say, amen. Amen. And then they have to say amen. And then they say, as we are here, hallelujah. Why? Because He's Jehovah. Praise you, Jehovah. He's God Almighty and He deserves worship. Because everything He does is right. Everything He does is holy. Right. Everything He does is just. Right. And that even means the damnation of a soul. As sad as it might be for a soul to go off into eternity without hope, without God, it's a holy, righteous God that makes that dictation. Destruction, war, salvation, deliverance, death, eventually even one day. And I got to thinking about this one this afternoon, and I got to thinking about all the hosts of heaven, and they're up there, and everybody's just, you know, kind of enjoying fellowship, and they're enjoying being in the presence of the throne, and man, there He is, and man, it's just a matter of, I just can't take my eyes off of Him. Hey, come here and stand here. Man, we're just fellowshipping one with another, but I can't get my eyes off of Jesus. There He is, and about that time they see Him, and He just kind of folds his robe up and kind of tightens it down a little bit, and He stands up, and they say, what's going on? And that one of them that's been up there for a little while goes to hitting the other one. He said, hey, this is it. This is what we've been awaiting on. What's going on? He's fixing to leave. Where's He going? I don't want Him to leave. He'll be back in just a minute. He's going to get His bride, amen. He's going down there to get the rest of them that's bought with a price and glorified God in their body and their spirit, which are God's. He's fixing to go lay claim to that one that He died for, and He's been waiting over 2,000 years to be able to go and get her back, and He's fixing to go and get her. And as they're sitting there and they're talking about it, anticipating the coming, they look and, oh man, He's gone. Where'd He go? About that time, there's a proclamation goes out and says, everybody get to the gate and wait over there. He'll be back in just a minute. And buddy, in the Bible says, in the moment and in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. And the Bible says, when we get up there, I don't have any doubt in my mind that as He comes back and the bride is coming, He said, everybody go to the gate. What are we doing at the gate? Just follow Him out. Go down. Find where your body is. Get in that thing, because we're fixing to experience a ride like we ain't never had before. Amen. Boy, that's a proclamation now. Amen, man, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He's leaving. No, Hank, you're going with Him. Yeah. They're going to come with Him. And they're going to come back here. And that's what they're waiting on up there. And I dare say, whenever they go and they head out of heaven and they make their way back here, it ain't going to be a time of sorrow and a time of crying and a time of grief. I mean, you think about it, and honestly, truthfully think about it, if you had experienced the purity and perfection of heaven and knew you were going to have to come back here, boy, that would drag you down and that would make you so discouraged. And that's why I tell you, the people like to think that the loved ones that we've had that have gone on to be with the Lord, and they say, well, they'll be watching over us from heaven. Brother, I'm telling you, I hope they don't. I don't want them looking down here. Heaven means perfection. Heaven means glory. I don't want them to be in a place of that much beauty and that much splendor and have to turn around and look down here and see me mess up and see you mess up and see how wicked this world's getting. You know what? Even if they could look back here, Brother Candler, I don't think they would, because they can't take their eyes off Jesus. They got their eyes on the throne and they can't take their eyes off of Him. They said, somebody, I don't remember who it is, but people keep trying to write songs about, well, Grandpa can see me from heaven and all this kind of business. And I sit here and think, thank God he can't. Mine's been up there almost 10 years now. I'm glad he can't see down here. I don't want him to have to look down here, because you know what? He's going to see me and how wicked I am, because he's got perfect eyes. He's got a glorified state of mind, and I don't want him looking down here and seeing what Jesus sees. But when they come back, it'll be behind the Lamb of God. Right. And when they come back, it won't be just a, oh, what a lovely ride. No, they're going to come back screaming, hallelujah, glory, praise the Lord. Amen. It's been wonderful being in heaven, but I'm looking forward to that reunion in the sky. I'm looking forward to that blessed chance where I get to not just be there at His throne, but I get to join hand in hand at the altar and be His bride. And then He's going to take me off and create a city, and I'm going to live in it with Him, and we're going to rule and reign together, and I'll never have to worry again about anything that I do, making a disappointment in His eye, bringing shame to His name, or being a selfish act of sin, because it's all going to be gone. Praise the Lord. I want to look at a few things in these six verses. I haven't even got to the message yet. This is just an introduction. It's already getting good. Amen. Look at chapter 19 there in verse 1. We're talking about four hallelujahs. I want to preach about four hallelujahs. After these things, I heard a great voice and much people in heaven saying, hallelujah. Why? Salvation. Now, if that's something, I want you to look at salvation. You remember Sunday school this morning, those of you who were here? You remember Sunday school? What's salvation doing? Capitalized. Boy, that tells you something about it, don't it? If you've been here, if you don't know what we're talking about, go to the sermon audio and listen to the Sunday school lessons. He says, salvation and glory and honor and power, man, how many more are there? And under the Lord our God. This is a hallelujah of acknowledgement. What is he talking about? Look at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And in Isaiah 43, and I've spent much time in this passage, but in Isaiah 43, here's what he tells you in verse 12. He tells you, I have declared, and he says, I have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. He says, therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. What is this? That hallelujah we read about, that's a hallelujah of acknowledgement. Acknowledgement of what? Of Him and what He is. That salvation is capitalized because that's His salvation. He's Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And it's His salvation. It's not yours. When David prayed, he told the Lord, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It wasn't any of our salvation. Thank God it ain't, because I ain't good enough. I can keep it. Bless God. I'm glad it's His salvation. That means when He imputes it to me, I can't lose it no matter what I do. But I have to be willing to acknowledge something. What is that? Isaiah 43. I have declared. What did He declare? He declared unto you your sin. He declared unto you your ungodliness. He declared unto you that you wasn't good enough, that all your righteousness was as filthy rags, that there was none good, no, not one, and everything under the sun was vanity, according to Solomon. And then he tells you what? He said, I've declared my love for you in John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Woo! That whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He declared for you how much he loved you, how much he loved me, Lord. This much, praise God. And it was so much, they let him permanently nail his arms right there to say, I love you this much. And that wasn't enough, brother. But that and them nails that pierced the everlasting arms, I can't help but believe that as the pain shot through that old arm of salvation, that arm of creation, that arm of exaltation, that arm of proclamation, I can't help but believe in my heart that my face and your face passed through his mind and went through his memory as he began to remember. He told Jeremiah, he said, I knowed you when you was in the womb, and before you was born, I even called you to do my service. So I believe in all my heart that he looked down through the bands of history, the span of time, on into the future, and he saw Josh Holden as a 9-year-old boy kneeled down in the basement of Prentice Baptist Church on November the 11th of 1995 at 7:30 on a Wednesday night and gave Jesus Christ everything. And then I believe, brother, I told Brother Eddie, it just occurred to me this morning, me and him was talking after church, I got about 7 more days, and I got an anniversary of coming. I got something special of coming for me. It's something I didn't, true glory to God, I didn't think it was something I was ever going to get to see. But I've got a 10-year anniversary of coming up in about 7 days of being surrendered to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been preaching the gospel for 10 years in about 7 days. And about, boy, I didn't think I'd see 1 year, let alone 10. And God's been good to me, and he's been gracious to me. So I can in full confidence throw my head back and say, hallelujah, and acknowledge that he has declared his love to me. He has declared. But not only that, he said, not only have I declared. Look at what he says next in chapter 43. He says, not only have I declared. He said, I have saved. How did he save you? He only is the one that could. I couldn't save myself. He had to save me. He had to do it. He had to buy me and pay for me. I told you I didn't need water. I might have to have another one. Max, would you care to go get me another water, please? From the refrigerator, please. But I'm going to tell you something. He didn't just declare to me his love. He showed it. He showed it. He said, I have declared and I have saved. He said, he saved me because only he could. He bought me because only he was able to. He was the one who stood there and paid the price. I said, what's the price of this? What's the price of the sin that he owes? Death, because the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. He said, I'll pay for it. I'll write my name on the line. He said, but it's written in black. It's sin. He said, the blood covers up all the black areas. He said, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleans me from all sin and all degradation. Thank you, Mac. Appreciate that, buddy. But I want to tell you something tonight. There ain't nothing in this world compares to what I've had on this side of eternity, on this side of Calvary. Nothing compares to what God's done for me. Nothing compares to what God has shown. Man, hallelujah, it's good to be saved. I'm telling you what. If you ever get that used to, get used to being saved, get lazy in the salvation, man, I tell you, that's a place I don't want to get to. I don't want to get to a place where I can't just have me a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost running fit. I tell you, I don't want to get to a place where I keep a seat warm for Jesus, and I ain't willing to get up and give some glory and honor and hallelujah of acclamation to what he's done, acknowledgement of what he's done for me. Amen. Praise God. Man, this is some good. Boy, there's a good liberty in here tonight. I'm telling you what. I have declared and I have saved. But then he told you, he said, I've showed. What did he show you? Showed you how to live. Showed you how to live for him. It ain't all about the hollering and the yelling and the getting, Brother Campbell. He said, I declared. What was that? Something from him to you. And then he said, I saved. That was from him to you. Then he said, I showed. That was something from him to you. But it requires another from you to him. He showed you something. You need to show him something. Amen. Say, I show Him how much I appreciate Him by praising Him and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. You know that's how you lay up treasure in heaven? How do you lay up gold? By worshiping Him and acknowledging Him as the Lord God. Bible talks about gold in the Bible as a sign of deity. And it's what you lay up for yourself by worshiping Jesus Christ as God. And then you lay up silver by telling other people about Him, because silver in the Bible is the price of redemption. When Judas sold out the Lord, he sold Him out for 30 pieces of silver. Silver is the price of redemption that it takes for a soul to either be damned or be redeemed. And if you're willing to tell somebody about Jesus, then you'll lay up for yourself silver in heaven. And then them precious stones are the souls that come to know Jesus Christ. Because of your testimony and because of your witness. It's a hallelujah of acknowledgement. Acknowledgement of what He's done. Not of what I've done, but what He did. Because it's all about Him. People need to understand that. They need to get that. This ain't about us. It's about Him. It's all about Him. It's all for Him. All honor and glory and praise. That's what He said here in the first verse in chapter 19. He said, salvation and glory and honor and power. Brother, where the word of a king is, there's power. And if we want our power to be in God's name, it's going to have to be on God's terms. I was listening on the way over here. God laid it on my heart, and I got to thinking about it. And I had, you know, we made them recordings of the revival back in December. And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, you know, it's been 6 months since that revival took place. And I thought to myself, I said, you know, I ain't listened to any of them since we had that revival meeting. And I went on sermon audio, and I got down there, and I downloaded the first one. And I got about halfway through it on my way to church. Got to listening to it, and I got to listen to my pastor, and got to listen to Him preach about just believe. And He got to talking about that old woman who had an issue of blood, how that woman didn't have any other thing to trust in except the fact that she believed, and she could just get her hand through that crowd and that little old garment just brush across that hand, she'd be clean and she'd be whole. Why? Not because of anything she did, just because she believed what God said. And I tell you tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, I believe that He can do anything He wants to do, as long as God's people are willing to do everything His way. Amen. It's got to be. We want revival again. It's going to be on His terms. But I ain't interested in a local revival. I hope we have another one. I'd love to have another meeting in this church. But I want to see a big one. I want to see countywide. I want to see sinners get coming in because the Holy Ghost beckons to them so loud they can't run away from it. I want to see people melting in the altar, giving their heart and soul to Jesus Christ. I want to see some old-fashioned preacher get behind the pulpit and rip, roar, and snort, and sweat for about 45 minutes or an hour and get me under conviction so I can find my way back to Calvary and get cleaned up the way I need to get cleaned up and make some changes the way I need to make some changes and become a more effectual Christian than the one who bought and paid for me. But if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to do that on His terms. It's going to have to be on His terms, not mine. Hallelujah of acknowledgement. But then I want you to look at something else. In verses 2 and 3, here's what He tells you. He said, glasses are fogging up. He said, for true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And they again, they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. What is that? That's a hallelujah of judgment. Because you can't have God's act, you can't have an acknowledgement and glory and praising and worshiping without judgment. Because judgment is what cleans us. You get down here in verse 7 of that same chapter and you read about the beginnings of the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you see what He says. He says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and His wife hath made herself ready. You know how she made herself ready? She had to go through the judgment seat of Christ. That had to take place. Because the Bible says that as you and I, as the bride of Christ, cannot stand before Him having a spot or a wrinkle or a blemish. We've got to be cleaned. And the judgment seat of Christ does that for us. We go through His judgment. We answer for everything we've done, whether in the body and whether good or whether evil, and we have to give an account of it. And then once we do, He's going to clean it. And He's going to try the works by fire of His righteousness and holiness. What's done for Him is going to pass through and be glory for us and be honor unto Him. And what ain't been done for Him is going to burn up as wood, hay, and stubble. And that's what we're going to have. And by doing so, we're going to be cleansed and purged, tried by fire, so that we can be made clean. That's what judgment is. That's what judgment does. And I want to tell you tonight that judgment is not only for the removal of sin, but it's also for the damnation of a lost sinner. I done talked about that a little bit. When they say hallelujah, you know what they're rejoicing over? The fact that this whore of Babylon in the chapter 17 and chapter 18 has been destroyed and she's gone now. This temptress who lured in many a person and drew them into a life of sin. Thankfully, because you're born again and bought with the price of Jesus Christ, when all that's taking place, you ain't going to be here. You notice where we are. This is chapter 19. Do you realize that this is the first chapter in 15 chapters where you finally read about the church again? When you get in the book of Revelations, the last time you hear about the church is in chapter 4. Because in chapter 4 is where you read, come up hither. And you don't hear anything else about the church until chapter 19. And what the first thing you read about the church is verse 7, where the bride has made herself, or his wife has made herself ready. And she's fixing to go in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then what happens? And then verse 11 down through verse 16 is the battle of Armageddon, the second advent. So what they're saying hallelujah over is the judgment that has come upon this great whore. Now practically or doctrinally, that doesn't apply to us. But practically, I tell you, whether we like it or not, you and I are going to have to, with a holy mind like we're going to have, are going to have to say hallelujah, even when it comes to the damnation of those souls that we have wished and prayed and hoped would get born again. Miss Donna has prayed and asked prayer for the lost loved ones in her family. Everybody in here's probably got lost loved ones in the family that you know need to be born again. And I'm going to tell you something. If they don't get saved, and it ain't nothing by your doing, if you've told them, and if you've tried to witness to them, and you've done the best you can, then brother and sister, that's all you can do. You can't do any more than that. But anybody that dies in that sin and ends up standing before a white throne judgment, and as they dive off into hell, you standing next to that throne behind the one who saved you and is sitting on that throne passing judgment on a group of people that rejected Him, they're gonna fall, and you're going to have to look up at the Lord with tears in your eyes and say, amen. Hallelujah. Because everything He does is right. You know, it's kind of hard to think about hallelujah in the sense of it being something like that. Now I want you to see another one. Verse 4 and verse 5, he says, ugh. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. What is that? Now that is a hallelujah of deliverance. That's a great deliverance. He tells you, he says they fall down and they say hallelujah because the God, they said the servants that fear Him, both small and great, are the ones that are doing this. Are you one of them? Are you one of the small and the great, the ones that fear God? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we're going to fall down before Him because we fear Him and because we love Him. And we're going to say hallelujah because of that deliverance. You know, when you really get to thinking about it, and Christians nowadays have gotten so lethargic in salvation that it tends to skip their mind what exactly they escaped when they got saved. I mean, some people, I tell you, it wouldn't hurt them to maybe pray, Lord, would you remind me of what it was you saved me from?
Amen.
I mean, you think about that.
Amen.
I prayed that one time. I ain't prayed it since. Now, I ain't saying I won't ever pray it again. There may come a time when I have to. But I got so cold and indifferent toward the burden I had for souls dying and going to hell that I prayed and I said, God, would you remind me of what it was you saved me from? And you know what happened? And I ain't putting any stock in this, and I don't put stock in this, but I went to bed that night and I had a dream that I died and went to hell. And brother, it wasn't near what I believe it's actually going to be, but it was enough that it put me in a state of fear like I ain't been in a long time. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and my little bride was, we hadn't been married 3 months. And she was laying in bed next to me, and I sat up in the bed, and I rolled out of the bed real quick. I was trying to get away. I felt like something was trying to get after me, and I was trying to get away. I jerked up and I threw the covers back and I rolled out of the bed and laid in the floor. I busted my head on the coffee table, and as I'm laying there in the bed in a cold sweat, I'm staring into the dark, and the Lord said, was that enough? And I just rolled over on my stomach and put my head down in the carpet, and I said, God, thank you. Thank you that I know I ain't got to go to that terrible place. You know what that started? It started about 2 years worth of witnessing to young people and teenagers and teaching them about the Bible. And in a year's time, the Lord let us see 17 come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that any of that hinged on me. It didn't do none of it. That was just a person who needed to be reminded of what God had saved them from. Sometimes I think it would do us to do a little bit of praying and say, Lord, would you just remind me of what you saved me from? There's a song that says, remind me, dear Lord. Sometimes we need to be reminded of what He saved us from. What's that song? I like it. I like that song we sing over here, page 10 in the book, Deliverance Will Come. I like that song. It's a long song, though. Yeah, it's called, Deliverance Will Come. I saw a wayward traveler in tattered garments clad, struggling up the mountain. He seemed that he was sad. His back was heavy laden and his strength was almost gone. Yet he shouted as he journeyed, Deliverance Will Come. I like some of these verses. Boy, the summer sun is shining. The sweat was on his brow. His garments were warm and dusty, yet his steps seemed very slow. But he kept pressing onward, for he was wending home, still shouting as he journeyed, Deliverance will come. I heard the song of triumph they sang upon the shore. Our Jesus has redeemed us to suffer nevermore. Then casting his eye backward o'er the race that he had run, and shouted loud, Hosanna, deliverance has come. Deliverance. That's a shout of deliverance, a hallelujah of deliverance, because people were reminded of what was before they got there, what it was before they showed up. If His deliverance don't make you want to shout hallelujah, then you've not had enough trouble in your life to make you appreciate Him. Amen. If you can't think of what He's delivered you from, and it don't put a shout of glory in your heart, then you ain't been through enough trouble to understand what He's delivered you from. And then I'm going to say this lastly. In verse 6, it says, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord omnipotent reigneth. Now that's a hallelujah of relief. It's a hallelujah of relief. His omnipotence becomes real. His omnipotence means He's all powerful. His power becomes real because He finally is going to be sitting on the throne that's rightfully His. Hallelujah of relief. I want to read you one verse real quick. It's back in Isaiah 43 where we just were. The Lord just kind of brought it to my mind. I just want to read it to you. If you want to turn, you can. Isaiah 43, we read verse 12. But I want to read verse 13. Excuse me. He says, "Yea, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" He's saying, when I start working, when I start working, nobody can stop it.
Amen.
Peter said, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Right.
If God be for us, who can be against us? What are we afraid of?
Amen, brother.
What are we scared of? What are they going to do to you? Except ridicule you and maybe make fun of you a little bit. And they spit on Him. And beat Him. And pulled the beard out of His face. And all through that. Now get this. Through all of that. Here the Father was. On a throne. Looking down. Seeing His Son. Become the one thing. That He could not condone. And tolerate. And you know what He had to do and the host of heaven with Him? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Do you know why He did that? So you and I can look up at that sacrifice and say, hallelujah.
Amen.
Deliverance.
Amen.
And we can sit at home, in our church, anywhere in this country, and talk about Him. And not cost us a dime.
Amen.
And knowing, that's why I said I love this book. Because it tells me the future. It tells me what's going to happen. And I see Him on a throne. And as I see Him on a throne, and I see all the scene of heaven around Him, I can say, hallelujah. That's going to be a relief. What a relief to step into His presence and know, Brother Cameron, I'm never going to have to leave again.
Amen.
Never have to leave again. And I'll never sin again. And everything I think, and everything I say, and everything that crosses my heart is going to glorify and honor Him. But it's going to be on His terms. You know, then it's going to be real easy to say hallelujah.
Amen.
Then it's going to be easy.
Right,
you know, it's going to count now. It counts now. It ain't going to count then. It's going to count now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acknowledgement. God, You've done so much and salvation is Yours. Hallelujah, judgment. Because, Father, though we don't understand why things have to happen, we know that they happen because it's right for them to happen. Because You're right. Hallelujah, for deliverance. Because of what I was and what I could have been had the Lamb of God not passed by my way.
Amen.
And a hallelujah of relief that it'll be when I step on heaven's shore.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. I just feel like I need to give a few minutes. Now, I don't care if you got a need. I don't care if you just want to come say thank you. Just whatever you want to do. It makes no difference to me. If you need to come, come. We'll take a few minutes. If you just want to come and just say, God, thank You. Lord, thank You for the hallelujahs. I tell you, when I read over this passage tonight, this ain't what I saw, but as I got to looking on it more and more and more, I began to just look and God began to show me some things. And I began to Be very, very, very grateful. Hallelujah. We say it so much. Hallelujah, amen, glory. You know, we say those things so many times. Yet how often have we ever really stopped to actually ponder what they meant? I mean, you say hallelujah. Praise ye Jehovah. You say amen. That means it's steadfast, and so be it. We say glory. That means honor. You know, I remember reading a passage where it said that you render unto the elders double honor. So that's why I sometimes think it refers to God says glory and honor. So He says glory, that means honor. But then He says glory and honor because He deserves double. It ain't always about God forgive me, God help me, God this. Sometimes it's just God thank you. Just thank you. Father, I give glory and honor and praise to Thy name because of how good and wonderful You are. Father, I don't feel worthy that I could even bow, and I don't feel worthy that I could even call. But Father, because of Your salvation, I can shout hallelujah of acknowledgement. Because of Your judgment, I can shout hallelujah. Because of Your deliverance, I shout hallelujah. And relief, Father, one day is going to bring hallelujah to my lips once more. Thank You so much for this time. Thank You for this message. God, I feel like You stepped in and preached tonight, and I thank You for that. I'm glad that none of these services hinge on me and my ability because they wouldn't be worth nothing. Father, thank You so much for loving us. Thank You for those promises. Just a little look into the future. God, it brings joy to the heart and kind of gives encouragement in a dark day. And I pray that as we go our separate ways, Father, would You help us to be looking out for them souls. Somebody that we can tell about our hallelujah story. Father, may we just be willing to share it with them. And if we don't know how, may we find a way. Seek a way. And I give You the honor and the glory and the praise for all You've done for me. And pray that You might lead, guide, and direct us in all truth and all manners of righteousness. In Your holy name we humbly and prayerfully ask. Amen.